4. I'm picking up the pieces that you drop. I'm picking up the pieces of broken hearts. They're scattered all around in every city, every town. They're paving the way for a lonesome sound.
Some exciting news for the two musicians you're hearing right now. The country duo, made up of Casey Rausch and Marco Pasqualini, are heading to Memphis next week to film an episode for the PBS series Sun Studio Sessions. More on that in a moment. Right now, let's hear more of their Picking Up the Pieces.
But if I knew then what I know now, I know that you never never stop. No, you'd never quit. You take that bottle with your very last grip. And so I'm picking up the pieces that you drop. I'm picking up the pieces of broken hearts.
Casey Rausch, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You got pipes, girl.
Hey, thanks.
You sound great.
I'm working on that.
Marco Pasqualini, welcome to you, too. So good to have you here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Is this the first time that song's been on the air?
It is the very first time. That was its debut. It's
really
exciting to hear it. Yeah.
Not bad. You like it? You okay with it?
I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
Very proud.
It's always weird sometimes hearing it the first time through headphones and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're okay with it?
Oh, great.
I wouldn't change it for the world.
Okay. And we'll have a preview of another tune a little bit later. Casey, those tunes come from one recording you've already had at Sun Studios in March this year. How did that session come about?
Well, Marco and I were on tour. We were going from Nashville to Austin, and we had to stop in Memphis for a meeting that I had that afternoon.
There's a song there somewhere, which you're describing.
There's
here.
Always a song there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had a hard time lining up some gigs in Memphis, so I had the afternoon meeting, and while we were on our way there, we decided to look up Sun Studio Tours and see if we might be able to hit one of their tours, and unfortunately we couldn't, and so I called just to see if we could stop in and just look around or if we really needed to catch one of those guided tours, and they said, well, you can come in the gift shop, but you can't really look in the museum. And so while I'm about to say, okay, thank you for your time, Marco kind of leans over in the car and says, hey, ask him about recording. And so I did, and the woman gave me the email address of who to contact.
Really?
So I shot him a website and some samples of our work and told him we're in town for a hot minute, and he got back to us. His name is Curry Weber, the man that was the engineer on that recording. And he got back to us within about 30 minutes and said, I would love to have you. Can you come in tonight?
Are you kidding me?
Just like that, yeah.
And that's how things happen
sometimes,
how it happened, Marco. Yeah. Within 30 minutes, how surprised were you?
We were kind of shocked. I think we were just trying to get a bite to eat at that point. So
I really had no expectations to even hear back, much less within 30 minutes. And you know, then for a heck yeah, can you come in tonight? It was just very kind of cosmic how it all lined up.
Now, when you say come in tonight, did you actually go into the Sun Studios where like Elvis and Johnny Cash and all those guys did their thing?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about
the
here, right?
The very one, yeah, the birthplace of rock and roll.
Well, what was that like?
Oh, man, it was, you know, we kind of wondered, is this going to be cheesy, touristy? What's this going to be like? I'd never even been to the museum before, but it was so down to earth, very real, very beautiful connections we made with the folks that were there. It was after hours, so there was no one else there but the employees.
Huh. Yeah, it's a pretty sparse place. When you walk in, it just feels like a 1950s
office
with a little bit of a, you know, acoustic ceiling tiles, but they have the old RCA mics and a lot of great old instruments there to, you know, you can pick up and play. And
so it sounds like it's not all that different from the day when Johnny Cash and Elvis were there and doing
I think they had to rebuild it at one point because it had been a couple other, like an auto shop and things like that. But they kept it true to how it was back in the day.
Yeah.
One of the things that really stood out to me was that that infamous photo of Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins
yes.
and Elvis and
yes.
Jerry Lee at the piano.
Yes.
And you can see in that photo the wall, which is kind of this cinder block slash pegboard kind of stuff. And so there's that photo on the Sun Studio wall, on that very wall,
yeah.
you know, near the piano. It was just a very, very grounding moment of like, wow, this is real and exciting, yet I'm just a little bitty small drop in the bucket, but wow.
You know, I remember being at the Village Vanguard once to hear some folks play, Paul Motion being among them. He played drums with Bill Evans back in the early 1960s, and I'm watching him play one evening during the Republican National Convention back in 2000 or 2004. I was playing hooky one night, and on the wall of the Village Vanguard is a black and white photograph of Bill Evans, you know, with Paul Motion, you know, doing a conversation back yeah. in 1960 or something, and you just so you're going back 40 years right there. And that stuff just grabs me. I mean, obviously it grabs you too.
Yeah, the energy of the place was so cool. My hairs were standing up on end. One of my favorite stories from our experience was we were staying at an Airbnb that night because we weren't even yeah. sure that we were going to stay in Memphis that night. We found yeah. a really cool, sweet gal that ran in this beautiful Airbnb in this old southern Memphis home. And so we were driving from the Airbnb to Sun Studio, and there was this grand lightning storm happening.
Yeah,
no rain,
rolling in.
Just electricity everywhere. And as soon as we pulled up to the studio and got out of the car, one of the engineers stepped out, and the first raindrops started coming down. And he says, oh, it's going to rain. Sam always said it was best to record in the rain, meaning Sam Phillips, the founder
no
of
kidding.
Sun Studio. So we yeah. were both at that
That's
moment.
Sam Phillips.
Like,
yeah. yeah. That's Sam. Yeah, exactly.
And then this torrential rain came, tornado yeah. sirens going off, and we just kept plugging away recording.
So it sounds like you're saying that Sun Studios disappeared at one point and
yeah.
then was sort of resurrected. Is that the history
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, well, I think to 59. I think Sam Phillips opened his own studio after that.
Yeah.
Probably funded by selling the contract Elvis off to RCA.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's still a Sam Phillips studio in Memphis among, I mean, there's Memphis has so many studios, you know, Stax is there and Ardent, just so many, such a history of, you know, recorded music. There.
So the purpose of your performance that evening at the studio was what? What was the point of it? Just to see if you were ready to do the 30-minute thing?
Well, we didn't have any studio recording of just the two of us, the duo, so it was just an opportunity, and
this PBS Sun session came after this opportunity came after we experienced what we experienced, and they ended up liking our music a lot. And one of the gals, one of the tour guides there that was sitting in on the session, really pulled for us to do this Sun Studio session that airs on PBS. So that's how we got invited back by the studio.
So were you recording the first time you were there, or was it just something of a tryout?
Oh no, it was a hit record and go. Yeah, it was a live recording in the room.
Right, recording. Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't know what would come out of it. It was just a great opportunity to see what we could do.
Yeah. Just enough time for two songs, and that's what we intend to put out.
Well, these episodes, Sun Studio Sessions, run just under 30 minutes. How many songs do you figure you're going to wind up playing?
They told us to plan for 6 to 7 songs, and then I think they'll cut from there.
And all original songs, Casey?
All originals, yep.
Yeah. I mean, Sun Sessions isn't just playing music. You have to talk about it and yourselves, too. Any idea what you're going to be talking about that night, Marco?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they may be just asking about the songs we're playing, maybe how they came about, how they were written, maybe our connection with Sun Studio. That's
yeah,
what I've seen of
yeah.
some of the other artists that have been on the show in the mm-hmm. previous 7 seasons.
How big of a break do you view this to be for you?
Well,
I look at it as more of a good promotional piece, you know, and mm-hmm. hopefully come away with some good recordings. You know, I think it's, you know, it's just.
So you perform and then it's recorded as well. So it becomes.
Yeah.
So our intention after the filming and once we get all of the mixes back from the studio, they allow us to preview the mixing before it goes to air, which is really cool on their part. We also have the rights to use those recordings, the audio, for whatever we want. So we will assuming we like what we get out of the filming, we will be able to put out a little EP of the Sun Studio session
Great.
So this 45 we're putting out this fall is kind of a preview. It's what we recorded last spring already, and then that'll hopefully make some good way to promote then the full 6 or 7 song EP that we'll hopefully get to put out next spring.
When will the episode air? When do you expect it to air, Marco?
I'm not sure, Casey.
Spring 2017 is what they told us. We don't have a date yet.
Spring 2017. And as far as you know, are you two the first Kansas City-based act to be on Sun Studio Sessions?
On the PBS show, there is a great Kansas City band called the Grand Marquis that recorded several years ago at Sun Studio and put out a nice 45 record with that. But I don't believe they were a part of the PBS Sun Sessions television show.
Because Ha Ha Tonka from West Plains, Missouri, has appeared on the series as well. But
that's right.
West Plains is a little bit south of where we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
You each have been at this music thing a while. Casey, you're a fourth generation songwriter. Tell us about your musical roots.
Well, I grew up hearing people play music in my living room. Some of my earliest memories are sitting kind of in the middle of the picking circle, listening to my grandfather and my uncles and aunts and cousins making music. And that's just been such a big part of my life that I can't imagine my life without it.
Well, where did music in their lives come from?
It's hard to say because both my mother's and father's side are musicians. Mm-hmm. I am now playing my great-grandfather's 100-year-old fiddle, and that's on my mother's side.
Is that right?
On my father's side, I've got an old mountain dulcimer that my father built because his father was building one. You know, so I've got a picture. One of my favorite old family photos is of my grandmother, my grandma Roush, before she was a Roush, and her father and her sister sitting around, and her sister's at the piano. Her father has got a banjo in his hand, and my grandmother has a trombone. And behind them is this.
Your grandmother has a trombone.
Yes, and this would have been in the early 40s. It wasn't common for women to play trombone in those days.
I'm glad you said it because I was thinking it.
Yeah. And then behind them is this little crocheted wall hanging that says "Home Sweet Home," and to me that just epitomizes my family.
And where was this taking place?
That was in Washington State. That family was originally from the Ozarks. They were moonshiners. They got out when things got dangerous, settled in St. John, Kansas for a while, and then they got word of some land available in Washington State and went and planted an apple orchard one tree at a time.
That's just American roots people doing their thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Picking a banjo when he had a break, I imagine. my Uncle Terry says of my great-grandfather, the banjo player, that he didn't know chords or anything. He would just kind of say, well, I don't know what this is, but it sounds like this, and then play something.
Which is the way you like it to be, isn't it?
It's the way I learned, watching my uncle's fingers.
Who else has influenced your music over the years?
Outside of my family,
yeah.
Mikal Shapiro, my best friend, she and I co-host River Trade Radio together, and we grew up kind of gigging together in Kansas City. I played my very first gig in Parkville, Missouri at 15 with my family. I was living in Texas at the time and just coming up for the summers, but after I moved back and befriended Mikal when we were 17 and 18, we started playing guitars together a little bit, and she's the one that really got me gigging on my own in Kansas City back in 1994 or something like that.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm visiting with Casey Roush and Marco Pascolini, the country duo. They're going to be taking part next week to film an episode for the PBS series Sun Studio Sessions in the studio where Elvis and Johnny Cash and everybody else sort of did their thing. Marco, you play guitar, including the pedal steel.
Uh-huh.
Self-taught?
Yes, yeah.
Why?
That's a good question. Casey and I were started playing in a band, a local band called Naughty Pines, which was classic country. there were two guitarists in the band, myself being one of them, and we didn't have the classic lead instruments to fill a lot of things like the ballads, and so I just kind of took a leap and bought one sight unseen, had it shipped here. And
describe that instrument to our listeners who may not be familiar with it.
Well, it's a horizontally stringed.
You don't play it like a traditional guitar.
No, it's more like a lap steel. It's on a stand, and it's the pedal part is the mechanical part where it has levers that you push with your feet and your knees to change different pitches on the strings.
How difficult was it for you to learn it?
There was definitely a learning curve, and I just kept working at it because it was I was under the pressure to bring it to a show and play in front of people,
which helps.
Yeah,
helps. Fear of embarrassment.
I'll say his own pressure, because from my interpretation, it was we'd been practicing for several months, and then one day Marco shows up with the pedal steel at practice, and we were all like, "What? Where did this come from?"
It was
and
a
then
slow
he
start.
Just, you know,
it's like one song here, one song there, but. Yeah, it's a you know it's an odd instrument, but it's really expressive. It's there's any number of ways to play it. There's it evolved from like a lap steels Hawaiian mm-hmm. music, and probably in the late 40s, early 50s, people were experimenting with these mechanical changes.
When did you pick up your first guitar?
My brother gave me my first guitar. I think I was like 12 or 13.
And then the steel guitar, the pedal steel entered the picture when?
That was recently, just like 3 years ago.
In your musical role models, who are you talking about?
Oh, man, all over the place. Actually, you know, listening to like some of the early Sun recordings, Scotty Moore, mm-hmm. Carl Perkins, those were all great guitar players, Chuck Berry. Just classic early rock and roll was kind of what influenced me.
Well, let's do this. Let's listen to another song from the country duo. Here's Casey and Marco and the track, Wait a Little While.
Any way you want, any way you want, darling, come to me, any way you want, but wait a little while. Wait a little while, I can't leave just yet. Wait a little while, if you won't wait patiently, then I'll be on my knees. Begging you, my sweet, to give me just a little more time. Any way you want.
Man, I just love that. Casey Rausch, Marco Pasqualini, they are the country duo. That's got such a classical feel to it. Did you guys work together on the arrangement of that thing, or how does that come together?
Yeah, I think the arrangements usually happen pretty naturally. Casey has the songs from, you know, get together and she'll play and I'll just listen and
start figuring it
out.
Yeah. You know, this city's music scene, it strikes me, boasts a lot of great talent, but at the same time, it's a pretty small world. A number of the musicians we talk with on this program play in more than one group. When did you first two cross paths?
Well, the first band we were in together was the Naughty Pines, which is a classic country tribute band.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, our paths had crossed here and there, just being part of the music community. But that's when our first, you know, strong friendship connections started growing.
Musically speaking, yeah, I
would say so. You play in other duos or other groups besides this one, obviously, do you?
Other groups, yeah. You know, whenever somebody books, I suppose. I play with songwriter Scott Rabko and the Rabbits. Also, David Renee, his band is called Dead Voices.
Mm-hmm. I play with Scott Stanton, a fabulous songwriter here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of our main projects right now.
Yeah.
You know, it strikes me as a duo, there's no net to fall back on here. It's just the two of you. There's a certain courage that has to go into something like this. Am I sensing that correctly?
Well, I like the interpretation of courage, because it could just be kind of dumb.
right.
Well, courage is a nice word for it, though, isn't it? Yeah.
It also makes it practical to tour, though. It's really difficult to tour. You know, making music is both of our full-time jobs, and so it makes it more sustainable to tour. It's hard to tour with a full band and make any money and much less a living at it.
So doing it with two is makes a whole lot of sense instead of five or six
practical
these days. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Our friend and bandmate, Fred Wickham, who's in a band called Had a Call, along with bass player Rich Burgess, plays with us in the Naughty Pines. They did all kinds of touring back, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago. And he was saying, like, the, you know, clubs are paying possibly even less than they were back in the 80s.
You That's know? Just
it's
unbelievable.
Just, it's just the funding to do with this, you know, with the expenses being more than they were
That's
back then.
That's got to drive you crazy. Because I hear from musicians in this town all over the place. Jazz, rock, country. I hear it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's rough. That's you know, why we got to do it lean. And I actually love it. I love the it's not complicated, and I love the
and I like stripped
space.
Down sound too a lot. It works. I'd better listen to a trio than a big band any
well,
day.
If it can work with one or two people, you know, that's means there's something solid there.
Is that economics model you just described? Is that changing music? Are you seeing more?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of that going on
because
right
people got to survive and
absolutely
all that kind of thing. Yeah,
a lot of duos these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can folks catch you guys playing anytime soon here in Kansas City?
Yeah, our calendar's at thecountryduo.com. That's a brand new website we just got up and running.
Yeah.
And we've got pre-sale of the vinyl happening as of today.
Yeah.
That'll be out this fall, but we'll be on August 21st. We'll be at Here's to the Roots, which is Kansas City's weekly musician appreciation series, located at the Dubliner, 14th and Grand.
Yeah.
And then the 28th will be a part of a new Bluegrass Sundays at the Stockyards Brewing Company.
Oh,
only
great.
They're making an exception and bringing in a country duo for for Bluegrass Sundays.
It starts early, 4 p.m., I believe. So
Come
Casey Rausch and Marco Pasqualini are the country duo. Their episode of PBS's Sun Studio Sessions will air next spring. Look for sales of the limited edition vinyl of Picking Up the Pieces and wait a little while to start sometime soon, right?
Absolutely.
Today.
All right.
Yeah.
Pre-sales start today.
That sounds good. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
So good to have you here.
Appreciate
Best of luck.
It.
Yeah.
Thank you.